Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I almost forgot about the Ball family. There hasn't been any crazy outburst, or maybe the media in the Los Angeles area has just stopped talking about it. Every now and then I see some kind of a headline about his kids playing overseas, but I haven't heard a peep about LeVar with the Lakers, and that's a good thing. Certainly the Lakers are making improvements. That's pretty obvious. If you look at where they are compared to where they were the last couple of years, they're on the way up. In fact, did you know they still haven't been completely eliminated from playoff contention? They're way back. They're 8.5 games back of the final playoff spot in the West. But the sheer fact that they are not eliminated with 8 or 9 games to go in the regular season is noteworthy in and of itself. And they're not anywhere close to having the worst record in the NBA. Nah, they've got 39 wins this year. They have dropped their last 3 in a row, so that's hurt them. And Lakers fans probably aren't harboring hopes that they're going to make the postseason or make some crazy run. It would be miraculous if they did. The fact that they've made steady improvement and that Magic and Jeannie Buss are active and are doing what they can to shuffle the deck. They made this big trade to try to clear some salary cap space. Maybe making a run at LeBron James or Paul George, and the future feels bright. There should be a great sense of anticipation. So when LeVar Ball opens his mouth and fires some grenades into that great sense of anticipation, it's cringeworthy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for all of your tweets to let me know where you're listening. And those of you who are listening on our new SiriusXM channel, that's awesome. SiriusXM 206, keeping you company in those gaps between our affiliates. Our question for these next couple of hours, if you want to weigh in, and I see some of you are answering the question on Facebook already. Who is the most impactful free agent signing or trade of the baseball offseason as we're a week away from opening day? Every team will start on the same day this year, March 29th. It's early. It's the earliest baseball has ever held its opening day. But because of the new CBA, and similar to what other sports have done, they're spreading out the season just enough to give teams a couple extra off days and to take away some of the most stringent and taxing road trips and stretches where they play 17 or 18 or 19 games in a row. Another thing this does is allow for rain out dates, where a lot of times schedules get so tight that there aren't any options for rain out dates. And it just creates a mess with ticket holders and the stadiums and all that jazz. So they'll start a week from today, today being Thursday. For those of you who are still awake on a Wednesday, I feel ya. That's how I feel too. But it is now Thursday for most of the United States. Only Hawaii has not joined the party yet on a Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I'm waiting for someone to tell me that he or she believes the J.D. Martinez addition to the Boston Red Sox, late as it was, is more of an impact than Giancarlo Stanton with the New York Yankees. Sox needed a slugger. They got a guy who tore it up the last month and a half of the regular season when he got traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Tore it up. And last year, the NL West was worth watching. Almost all the teams, not all of them, but almost all the teams. And so here he is. He translates that into a big contract, maybe not as big as he wanted, but that should be a huge impact. Should be, if he picks up where he left off, and the Red Sox desperately needed that.
Boston's like the Golden State Warriors now.
Whatever. Just keeps getting thrown back and forth across the bow, right? From the Red Sox to the Yankees, and which teams become the evil empire and which team is accumulating more big pieces and the way they're doing it and overpaying players and blah, 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 blah. It's the Cold War. But it's good for baseball. It is.
Once again, it's Judgment Day.
Let's face it. The Yankees-Red Sox rivalry has become relatively lukewarm the last few years. I mean, their games are still 5 and 6 hours at a time, but it's not been nearly as compelling. The Red Sox definitely still miss David Ortiz. Maybe J.D. Martinez helps to fill that hole. So, yes, Giancarlo Stanton. Yes, J.D. Martinez. What about a Garrett Cole? What about Garrett Cole? Or some of the other moves. So, Garrett Cole joining the World Series champion Houston Astros. And I know that really hurts the Pittsburgh Pirates fans. I get it. You and I've seen some Cincinnati Reds posts as well. You're bummed because your team isn't participating in the party. But I'll give you two more pitchers moves that I feel like could make a major impact. How about Brandon Morrow leaving the Dodgers and heading to the Cubs? He played a major role in what the Dodgers were able to do last year in getting all the way to Game 7 of the World Series. First World Series for the Dodgers since 1988, and they nearly won. They asked a lot of him, a lot of him. But he was up to the challenge most times. I think you saw at the end of the Dodgers postseason run that a bunch of their guys ran out of gas, a bunch of their pitchers ran out of gas. So for Brandon Morrow to go from the Dodgers to the Cubs and to take that postseason experience with him and to join a team that has been to the National League Championship Series the last 3 years and has the World Series victory in 2016, I think that only helps them boost their bullpen. And I like the fact that he now has the extra experience on baseball's biggest stage. And he says he believes that'll help him fit right in Chicago.
Dave pretty much said that I'm going to be closing games. So it's a great opportunity. And, you know, especially for a team that's going to give you a lot of opportunities to close out those ninth innings. Obviously very valuable to get that experience. Hadn't pitched in the playoffs before, and just to be able to get a taste of it and or, you know, whole mouthful, I guess, to know that it's still the same game. You're going to have same feelings when you're out there. As long as you keep yourself under control, everything should be all good.
2017 with the Dodgers, 14 appearances in the postseason, almost 14 innings, not quite, 13 and two-thirds. But he gave up 6 earned runs, 3 home runs, dozen strikeouts, did have 5 holds. And so for him, being in the postseason for the first time is critical. But I think it could also be for the Chicago Cubs to have this closer. He knows his role, and he also understands the goal, the primary goal, and what to expect when the Cubs get back there, if they get back to the postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I really do like what the San Francisco Giants have done. If you missed my conversation with Marcus Thompson of The Athletic in the Bay Area, we talked not just the Warriors and got the latest on the injured Warriors. We went from Steph to Draymond to Klay to KD. I'm not going to give it away. You're going to have to check out the podcast. But we also talked about the Niners and the introduction of Richard Sherman, as well as the Giants and the excitement level. I know you all in the Bay Area are massive Giants fans. You love your Giants. And it's so disappointing. Certainly last year was extremely disappointing because they weren't relevant for more than half the season. And that's not what you're used to. Even when there have been injuries in the past, this was a really disappointing and I would say even worse to stomach for Giants fans, because it seemed like everybody else in the NL West was relevant. I mean, there was a good race in the NL West. The Dodgers had that unbelievable stretch over the summer where they built themselves a big enough lead that they didn't have to worry about the swoon. So when they finally had the swoon, because nobody could keep up a torrid pace like what they had set, and it was really about the beginning of May. It was when Cody Bellinger came up from the minors and got to the majors. And so they'd had a record below 500 in April. And then about the end of April, beginning of May, went on this incredible pace that really nobody could keep up with. And so they built themselves enough of a cushion that they didn't have to worry about teams behind them in their division. Though, if you remember, there were roughly 10 games that were shaved off of their lead in that division. When it was all said and done, they had gotten up by as many as 20 games, if I'm not mistaken, in the NL West. And then you had the Diamondbacks go on an incredible final month and a half or so to finish. And a lot of that had to do with J.D. Martinez, plus the Colorado Rockies. They stayed steady enough. And you had the wild card game between two NL West clubs. Padres still languishing 20 games below 500. But add insult to injury, the Giants weren't just out of the playoff picture. They were the worst team in that division and had to watch three of their division rivals end up in the postseason. So for the Giants, there's a lot of excitement. I love the Evan Longoria signing for a couple of reasons. One, he's such a great bat and a really good third baseman. And to have him, I don't want to say an anonymity, that might be too strong, but to be wasting some of the prime years of his career for a franchise that wasn't as aggressive about winning and really in the last 5 years or so, it feels like. Remind me when the Tampa Bay Rays went to the World Series. I don't remember exactly what year it was. They were just about 500 last year. Oh, wait, thank you. The Rays, they weren't the worst in the AL East, but it doesn't feel like they've been a force to be reckoned with or a team that you really have to worry about for a long time ever since. I mean, not just because Joe Maddon left, but when Joe Maddon left, it kind of signaled the end of any hope for them. And now here they are. They've continued to divest some of their great pieces. And I felt badly for Evan Longoria. He was still enthusiastic, obviously went out there and tried, and there would be personal milestones and there would be individual achievements. But I wanted to see him on a team that had a chance to get to the postseason and for him to be on that stage yet again. So I'm happy for Evan Longoria and also for Andrew McCutchen. And I've heard from some of you Pirates fans, and I know that you're stinging a bit. Your Pirates heart is stung over the way that this offseason has gone, and even going back the last year and a half, where it became apparent that your front office, the franchise itself, is, again, not aggressive about winning and really is more about the bottom line and hasn't made any deals that would help your team. Instead, it's been the opposite. It's been back to that old practice that the Pirates used for so long, which was bring guys up in the farm system. They're young, they're cheap, they perform, they become big names, maybe they're all-stars, and then you ship them somewhere else, you trade them away, or you let them walk. And Andrew McCutchen kind of broke that mold for a while. He helped the Pirates get to multiple postseasons, and now he's gone too. But the last couple of years have been tough, and he was part of that. He had a really rough year. He was injured, right, in 2016 for part of it, and so he struggled, too, to regain that MVP form. I'm not saying that none of it has to do with him, but there wasn't always enough around him either. And going back to the trade with Mark Melancon when he got traded at the deadline from the Pirates to the Nationals. That was a year and a half ago, 2016, right? That would have been 2016 at the trade deadline. And it felt like there was a thud with Pittsburgh Pirates fans. It wasn't the end, but it's been more like the old Pirates management where they went 20 consecutive losing seasons. And when they would allow their best players to leave or they would trade their best players away for the sake of the bottom line and because it was more about winning, or it wasn't about winning, it was more about making money. It's a fantastic ballpark. It's such a great sports city. And I certainly understand the pain that many Pirates fans are feeling. There's no hope that springs eternal. And yet many of you want Andrew McCutchen to succeed and want him to have a chance to win a World Series. And so I like the moves that the Giants have made, and I'm especially happy for Kutch as well as Longoria. But for you, what are the moves that you think could make the biggest difference? Some of you weighing in on Facebook. Thanks so much for doing that. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. You're letting me know if you can hear us loud and clear on Sirius XM 206. That's our home now, Sirius XM 206. Bill says on Twitter, Toledo, Ohio, checking in with Amy Lawrence. Boom. Book it. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
LeBron is at the left point. Bothered by Siakam, gets to the foul line, down the lane, feeds Love for a corner three. He knocks it down. LeBron James with his 16th assist of the night sets up Kevin Love, and with 27 ticks to go, the Cavaliers have opened up a 128-124 lead. DeRozan's looking to baseball one ahead to a teammate, finds Ibaka, gets it back, 3 seconds left over the timeline, fires up a long contested three, misses. LeBron may have gotten a piece of it. DeRozan thought he got fouled, and this game is over. The Cavaliers overcome a 15-point halftime deficit as they take out the Eastern Conference leading Toronto Raptors by the final of 132-129.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I appreciate your baseball tweets and also Facebook posts, and you can continue to send those to me. The boys of summer are almost back. A week from Thursday, the season opens for everyone, every single team in action on March 29th, which is pretty cool. If I'm not mistaken, that is... Next weekend is also Easter weekend and the Final Four. And so this is crazy weekend of sports, right? March 29th begins baseball's 2018 campaign, and every team plays on March 29th, which is Thursday. Friday is Good Friday. And then Saturday is the Final Four. Sunday is Easter. Monday is the national championship game in college basketball. And you know what begins 2 days later? The Masters. So this is beginning one of the busiest stretches in sports. It's right up there with October, where it's all football and postseason baseball, and you've got both hoops and hockey beginning their season. So the month of April is insane. I'm just telling you to buckle up, and we're starting to get a piece of that now. So we're a week away from kicking it into high gear. So I appreciate your tweets and your Facebook posts about Major League Baseball. You can definitely give me a call, 855-212-4227. But the reason we come out with those two highlights from the end of the Cavaliers-Raptors game is because I was highly entertained. And I kind of felt like this was a wake-up call for the rest of the NBA. Did you see how LeBron played in the fourth quarter? The Raptors had a 15-point lead at the half. They scored 79 points in the first half. 79 points ties the Toronto franchise record. And like many of you, if you were watching the game, I was watching the game and thinking, wow, the Raptors are flexing their muscles. Even though DeMar DeRozan is still playing with a bruised thigh, and you could tell he didn't have the same explosiveness, so he couldn't push off nearly as much, he was hobbling through. And the team put 79 points on the board. So I'm thinking, okay, hello, Cleveland defense. But then they get to the end of the third quarter. There's a healthy run in the third quarter for Cleveland. This game is in Cleveland, by the way, as you can hear with John Michael on the Cavaliers radio network. And so in the third quarter, the Cavs put together a healthy run. They outscore the Raps by 14 in the third, and it becomes a one-point game. Just for kicks and giggles. It was 99-98 after three quarters. Do you know that the Spurs and the Wizards, neither one of them scored 99 points in the entire game. But the Raptors had 99 points after three quarters. And I guess if you're going to allow 99 points at home through three quarters to an opponent, you best have 98 yourself, which is what the Cavaliers did. LeBron comes back from his brief break at the beginning of the fourth quarter and took over. He was toying with people. There were crazy dunks where he took off from the free throw line, for heaven's sakes. He was hitting threes. He was setting up his teammates. That Kevin Love triple was not only the 1,000th career three-pointer for Kevin Love, but it came with 27 seconds left off an assist from LeBron, and it put the Cavs up by four. They also got the best performance of George Hill's Cleveland tenure. Now, he'd really struggled shooting, but last night only missed two from the field. This was a huge win. Why? Because they were down 15 at the half, and because their defense was nowhere to be found until really the second half. But also because the Cavaliers were missing five bench players and their head coach.
Not four.
Not five, but six, including their head coach, Ty Lue, who's still on medical leave. Think about that for a second. They just took on the Raptors, who've already locked up a playoff spot. and more than likely are going to be the top seed in the Eastern Conference. They got down 15 at the break. Their defense was optional in Cleveland, and yet they walked away with a win. Kevin Love makes a huge difference. 23 points, 12 rebounds. But LeBron's line, ludicrous. And I don't mean the rapper. 35 points, 17 assists, 7 boards, no turnovers. No NBA player has ever had more than 15 assists and no turnovers, going back to the 70s when the league first started charting turnovers. That's nutso. If there's any doubt that the Cavaliers are a force to be reckoned with, hear me roar, LeBron James.
It's a good win for us because how depleted we are with our roster and everything that's been going on. It's a good win for us versus a very good opponent. But I don't need to remind anybody what my teams are capable of doing. So that wasn't a factor.
I don't need to remind anybody what my teams are capable of doing. I'm sure he meant like the whole team, the roster, not just the fact that he's on the team. I'm sure.
Because I'm the best player in the world.
Well, yeah, we know that too. And come on, for those of you who are watching, for the Toronto Raptors, how can that not be a major smack in the face? How could that not be a rut-row for the Raptors? There's no way you could watch that game. I know it was just one game, and I had some Raptors fans say to me, oh, they don't care. It's the end of the regular season. That's BS. That is BS. The Raptors care a ton. They wanted that win in Cleveland. They wanted that win because it's as much for them confidence and psychological as it was for the Cavaliers to come back and to get that victory, since the Cavs likely will not have home court if they get to the NBA, or I'm sorry, the Eastern Conference Finals. They might, but more than likely would not if they end up in that number three spot. And so Dwayne Casey did the spin work afterwards.
We got to learn from it. Again, it's one game. Learn from it. You know, it was an offensive game. But again, defensive situations where you have to be disciplined and understand what they're trying to do to you. And again, a lot of that is experience.
Rut-row. That's what I'm saying. I saw some friends of mine on Twitter who work in the business talking about how it sure was nice of LeBron James to remind the rest of the Eastern Conference that I'll be going to my, what is it, eighth straight NBA Finals. Just to, in case anybody forgot, LeBron wants you to know that he plans on being in an eighth straight NBA Finals. This would be four with Cleveland, so it was four with Miami. Four with Miami? Three with Miami? Okay. I just lose count. Not four, not five, not
two.
Six.
Not six.
Not two. Yes, thank you. I mean, if you watch that game last night, there's no way the rest of the Eastern Conference isn't thinking, huh, this might not be as easy as we thought.
I'm sorry.
All right, so 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in. Also, we're taking your posts on Facebook about Major League Baseball and the most important impactful free agent signing. It wasn't really hot stove. It was more like lukewarm stove. But guys eventually got to where they were going. And then on Twitter, A-Law Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That's right. The attack of the killer's cell phone, it happened. It was real. It was spectacular. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Get it all at geico.com. This actually happened, speaking of real, for our Ask Amy Anything post on Facebook from yesterday's show. There were two guys arguing over who was going to marry me. Two guys that I've never heard of before. I have no idea who they are or where they listen from or anything more that I don't even know if it's their real names, because you know what? Facebook people frequently will use fake IDs or not use their real name, whatever, whatever. I only use on my personal Facebook page, I only use my first name and my middle name. And so I have no idea who these dudes are. And yet they're having a debate over who's going to
marry
me.
Were they listing qualifications or something? No. What were they debating about?
Just one of them said, as part of Ask Amy Anything, will you marry me? And another guy responds like, no way, man, she's marrying me, bro. Bro.
Very easy way to solve this.
I will definitely marry someone who drops bro into the conversation.
Very easy way to solve this.
Bro.
Very easy. Duel. There you go.
All right. Great. I could be. Nope. Not going to say it. I was going to say something and I will not. Oh, my V chip kicked in. I'm so proud of myself.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Some of you are weighing in on our Twitter as well. A-Law Radio, not about who's going to marry me. But Caesar, who called in last night to talk about the NBA, he wants to remind us that the Raptors need to prove to the league they are for real. I like this part. Before we pick them to go to the finals. I don't know who we is. Maybe he's speaking for the entire country collectively.
That's right, the collective us.
Before we pick them to go to the NBA finals, he said last night was a chance for the Raptors to show us, and they failed, even with the Cavs missing Lou, Korver, Tristan Thompson, and Hood. So he's even farther off the bandwagon, this idea that there might actually be a Raptors run to the NBA Finals. We've got some callers from Toronto. I don't know if they want to defend what happened last night in Cleveland, but 855-212-4227. Ollie is in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Hey, I just want to give like a perspective from Toronto. Mm-hmm. It's not a slap in the face like you were saying, I don't think. Like, I'm a big LeBron fan, and I'm a total believer in playoff LeBron. Like, I know what he can do, like, flick of a switch, like, no matter what team he has. Mm-hmm. Totally understand that. But it's interesting how, like, the narrative changed. Like, if the Raptors won this game, then people would talk about, like, oh, the Cavs are missing so many players, and that's why they lost.
Well, okay, first of all, I don't know that you can see the future. That's not what happened. My issue, and I'm not people, I'm Amy, so I can only say what I say. But I would never say that. I do not ever use injuries as an excuse because every team has injuries and every team has players that are out or are hurt. Think about the Warriors. They're losing four starters right now, for heaven's sakes. But my point is that the Raptors had a 15-point lead. They scored 79 points, a franchise record. They tied a franchise record for most points in the first half on the road, and yet they still couldn't protect that lead. That to me is a big deal. It's not so much that they lost, it's how they lost.
For sure. And yeah, their offense throughout the game, it was fine. Like, yeah, DeRozan could have played better, but yeah, for sure, defense is like one of the issues. Dwayne Casey is supposed to be a defensive coach, and there's no problem they're going to fix it. They're playing Cleveland again in a few days. So, like, if we lose that game, I can guarantee you that there's going to be panic in this city. But right now, it was probably like more of a wake-up call.
Okay, that's good. That's important before the playoffs. And nobody's – I mean, maybe people have forgotten. But in January, they beat Cleveland by, what, 45?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge win. This one I just feel like because it's closer to the end of the regular season, because the Raptors right now are the top seed and likely to earn the top seed, and that's a great thing. But they got to be able to do it on the playoff stage, and it's hard to imagine if you can't hold a 15-point lead, then how are you going to beat the Cavaliers in four games?
For sure. Well, that's the thing, too. Nobody's expecting Raptors to sweep Cleveland in the playoffs, right?
I hope not.
So that would just be crazy. Even me as a complete homer wouldn't even think that. but again, if we get seven games of this, like, I'm totally up for it. Like, this was a great game. It had everything. LeBron was just going insane. Like, 17 assists and no turnovers. Mm-hmm. Like, you respect that 100 times out of 100. That is incredible. But, you know, as for people saying Raptors haven't performed in the playoffs, they've fizzled out to Cleveland. Like, I think outside of the Warriors and Cleveland, like, they've had the most playoff victories in the last, 3, 4, 5 years.
And how many titles do they have? How many trips to the NBA Finals do they have?
Well, we're Cleveland to LeBron's Michael in the 90s, right? LeBron's a huge beast, and yeah, no trips to the finals, but again, like.
And don't you want that to change? Ollie, don't you want that to change?
Oh, for sure.
Then you want to go, you're going to have to go through him. He's not retiring. He's playing some of the best basketball of his career, which means the Raptors, they might not have to face him directly, but these are the kinds of games that they need to be showing they can win on a consistent basis. I mean, I get it, but this is their demon. We did a show not that long ago about exercising demons in sports and how important it is. Like, this was coming off of the United States finally beating Canada in women's hockey on the Olympic stage. Exercise those demons. And for the Raptors, it's LeBron James and the Cavaliers.
I think it's for the whole Eastern Conference. That's why I don't think he's leaving the conference in the summer, no matter what the rumors say. I don't know if he's going to stay in Cleveland, but he's not leaving the conference for sure.
Like, we'll see. That's
completely dominated.
That's months down the road. I think you should be more concerned with a couple weeks down the road.
Fair enough. Good point.
All right, Ollie. Thanks so much for calling. Thanks. I appreciate the NBA debate. 855-212-4227. Let's get the Cleveland perspective, shall we? Rasheed is in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry about yesterday taking over your show last night. it's like what I said yesterday about the Cleveland versus the Raptors. You know, the Raptors got a good team. I just think they can't get over that hump. You know, we tough when it comes to that. But you gotta give LeBron an MVP this year, Amy. I mean, come on, the guy didn't play with about 200 different teams. It's crazy.
Here's what impresses me the most about him this year, and certainly averaging a triple-double in a month is incredible. He deserves credit for that. He's raised his level of play, no doubt. But what most impresses me about LeBron James this year is he has not missed a game. All the talk about rest and, hey, I don't have to explain to you when I play and how I play. And he's been to 7 straight NBA finals, which means his seasons have extended from October to June for the last 7 years. And he has not missed a game. Understanding that his team can't really afford to be without him and his leadership, he hasn't missed a game. Not one night has he taken off to rest.
Yeah, he's hungry. He's hungry. He really is. And I think he personally don't want to lose that 3 spot for Kyrie. So second round, that's what I think that's about.
Oh, you think so? You think he relishes that opportunity?
Yeah, he wants Kyrie second round.
That would be juicy.
He just turns it on right now. It's like, all right, I'm not losing no more games. You know?
That would be fun. I'll look forward to that. Sign me up.
All right.
Thanks, Rasheed. Let's go back to Toronto. I like this. Peter's in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, how's everything going?
Good, thank you.
Just a couple of points, I guess. You know what? I have a lot of respect for LeBron James. He really played awesome today. Like, I'm happy the Raptors lost because at least it keeps LeBron and Cleveland in third place. And then if the Raptors have to get to the finals, they could play Cleveland in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I say, LeBron has to play like this for them to win because look at the last month. He's been playing awesome, right? And it's a team, you know, I'm not saying it's a single person, like one person could do it, but it's a team game as well, right? So, you know, for LeBron to play like this today, yeah, they're going to win, right? But he has to play like this all the time too, right? So I'm saying in a 7-game series, I'm not choosing Toronto. I'm not choosing Cleveland, but it's going to be a tough matchup this year. I think the Raptors, I'm happy that they lost because I'm hoping that they realize it's not going to be an easy go through.
Oh, I don't think anybody believes it's going to be easy. On the Raptors, they know. Last year, they didn't even get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And part of me believes this is psychological, Peter. And I get it. This is not the postseason yet. We're not there yet. And I understand what you're saying. They'd prefer to not have to face Cleveland before they would get to the East Finals if they make it that far. So I get all that. Just it's also psychological. They want that confidence of knowing it can be done. And yes, they delivered a wallop early. It was January, right? The last time they played, and it was a 45-point victory or something like that. But this is much closer to the postseason, and they had a 15-point lead, and it was in Cleveland. To me, it felt like a playoff atmosphere.
Well, the Raptors this year has given up a couple of leads like that this year. I think that's what they need to fix on that, right? But even if, like, I have more confidence in them this year than last year, and it's not because of the bench playing as well. Like, if you see who they played, whether they won or have lost, they really played everyone tough. I know they were 2-0 against Houston this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know they lost both to Golden State, but they were both tough games as well. You know, I think they were, like, they played Portland tough. They've been playing Boston tough. I don't think they've really gotten blown out of a lot of games.
All that's important, Peter. It's all important. But until you do it in the postseason and you're the last team standing in your conference, until they get over the hump and get to the NBA Finals, people are still going to question.
Oh, for sure. Like I say, going back again, I think I have more confidence this year than I would last 3 years at the end. So hopefully I can call back in a couple of months.
That would be great. I would love that.
And just gloat as much as I can. But thanks a lot, Amy.
Okay, Peter. Well, if they get to the NBA Finals, I think that you should be gloating because it would be a hallmark. It would be a milestone for the Toronto Raptors. They need that for their franchise, for their fans, for the country. What do we hear all the time? Toronto Raptors are Canada's team. It's Canada's team. It's got the entire nation behind it. So it's time to give your nation something to be excited about. 855-212-4227. By the way, Rasheed in Cleveland. Oh, Canada, stand on guard for thee.
We the North.
You the North. Am I allowed to talk over this, or is that considered disrespectful?
Probably.
Oh, shoot. Well, I got to keep going, but this is beautiful. According to sources in Boston, different reporters, Kyrie Irving is getting a second opinion on his knee today. So it's a bulky knee. It's giving him lots of pain. They've been resting him, and so the Celtics have played for a while without him. I mean, it's not as bad as a John Wall situation. He's still not back. It's getting to critical. Operation critical for the Washington Wizards, who are missing him. Remember, they were 8-3 originally after they lost him, but they've hit the skids a bunch. They really need their leader. So Kyrie Irving getting a second opinion on his knee today, and let's hope there's some good news for Kyrie's sake, and also because now that our caller brought it up, I would love to see a matchup between the Celtics and the Cavaliers, primarily because of Kyrie.
Because I'm the best player in the world.
No, you guys tell me, do you think this would be as juicy as Kevin Durant facing his old team? We know Kyrie's the one who wanted out. So Warriors Thunder in the playoffs the year after Kevin Durant goes to the Warriors, except the only thing is LeBron and Kyrie have kind of kissed, nice. It may be fake, but at least they've had a conversation.
It seems simpatico, you know, really weirdly so.
I mean, for LeBron, he wants everyone to like him. I don't know if it's so simpatico on Kyrie's part. I could be wrong. I think he was just anxious to get the heck out of
Dodge. He won. He got out. He got his.
But would that be as juicy as Warriors Thunder in the postseason? It wasn't as good a series, but what do you think?
I don't know. Probably not, but it's close. It's close. Yeah.
Fun. I'm looking forward to it. Regular season ends April 11th. All right, we've got 1 hour to go. We'll take more of your calls. Thanks for joining us After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.